Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast that thinks financial fair play is funny now it's screwing Villa over. I am Graham Brown and I'm here with my two regular colleagues, Kieran Doody.
Hiya Graham.
Hello Matt. And Joe Chapman.
How are you?
Yes, I'm all right, thank you. So I, as promised last week, I have every plan to bleat about the fact that Albion aren't moving quick enough for next season. But that aside, I'm good. The sun's been nice. I've managed to get one day out of half term to spend with my children, and all's good. How about yourselves?
Well, I've had a very nice week. I went to Wembley with Coventry City last Monday and helped the Coventry Telegraph cover that game comprehensively, and they were excellent. They brought 40,000 fans and had a great day out.
Do you see anyone Albion might want to steal?
It's a nice distraction. It's hard to really gauge, actually, because they're going to be in League One next year. It's hard to gauge what players could make the jump up. Mark McNulty's a bloke who scores goals for fun in League Two, but whether League One's his level, I'm not sure. Whether the Championship, rather, is his level, I'm not sure.
So to bring this back to a Woodman Corner-style question, would Hal Robson-Kanu have scored a goal in that match?
Possibly. Oh, push. Carl Edwards, obviously, that was the one talking point for Albion. Yeah, Carl Edwards scored a really, really good goal. I was chatting to colleagues down there that have been covering Exeter City for the season, and they actually said Kane Wilson was the one to watch out of the two, but Kane didn't get on the pitch, whereas Carl did, as Exeter were chasing the game. Scored a really, really good goal and looked quite bright.
That is interesting, because I mean, I think if you'd ask almost any Albion fan which of those two is more likely to play a part in the team next season, they'd all say Kane Wilson. But if he didn't get enough of Exeter, he ain't gonna be.
But he's had a better season. He has had a better season. In fact, the Exeter journalist that I spoke to was actually more surprised that Kane didn't get on the pitch ahead of Kyle.
Yeah.
So it just so happened that Kyle came on, took his chance. It was a consolation, but he did look fairly bright. I mean, it's one thing looking fairly bright at Wembley in a League Two final. Could he play a handful of games in the Championship?
Choose United, Stoke. So today is all about assessing the players that may or may not stay with their contracts being up at the end of the season. At the end, I want to come back to later on all the relegated teams have now announced their manager, so I want to have a chat about whether and who's got it right, who's got it wrong and otherwise. But let's kick off with this. So there's four sort of huge names at the Albion, and we all have differing views about whether or not they should remain names at the Albion next season, in the shape of Gareth McCauley, Claudio Jakob, Boaz Myhill and James Morrison.
Two of them have options, don't they?
We're
going to
talk us exactly where we're at. So
McCauley signed a one-year deal midway through last season.
Yep.
To cover him for this year. Boaz Myhill signed a deal, I think it was the summer of 2016. And again, that was to expire this summer.
Yep.
James Morrison signed an extension, and so did Claudio Jakob under Tony Pulis. They both have 12-month options in their contracts
in the club's favour. So we are talking about four players that Albion have it in their behest to whether to keep or not. Well, let's plough on with it then. Let's start with Gareth McCauley. So, Kieran, you are Albion manager. Gareth McCauley is an Albion legend. Is he an Albion player next season for you?
Yes, he is. Because, I mean, he's still performing for Northern Ireland. He's not. I don't think he's a player that we can start every week for 48 games a season. It's just not going to happen. But at the same time, we are going to lose some experienced defenders next year, and it's money we save on a defender where we could spend better elsewhere, I think, because goals is a main issue.
Joe, what are you saying?
I'm going to disagree on the idea of keeping McCauley at the club. I think McCauley's been absolutely terrific. He's been without doubt Albion's best ever signing on a free. I don't think he'll ever be topped.
No.
A free transfer signing like that in what he's given to the club, bearing in mind everything that went with it, He arrived at the age of 31. He'd never kicked a Premier League football.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, within two or three seasons, he struck up a partnership with Jonas Olsen. Jonas Olsen had been at the club a good 3 or 4 years before McCauley arrived. Was crying out for a partner. You know, he had to kind of line up alongside Abdoulaye Mete and Ryan Dunk and Shelton Martis and Leon Barnett, and all of a sudden you had a defender that he could really, really, you know, strike up a partnership. And we got so much value out of the pair of them.
And yes, you're prepared to scrap them.
I just think McCauley, I think this season showed that he's one step too far. The year before last, he was like Benjamin Button. It was the best campaign out of the club. Scored a lot of goals, helped Albion to a top half finish. And I think last year, with the kind of phasing out of McCauley, and he played maybe 20 games, if that. I think it's the right time now to shake McCauley by the hand and say thank you very, very much for what you've done for the club.
So I want to give my view on McCauley now, and essentially it's to supercharge yours. So I think Gareth McCauley, if you were to write the best 11 Albion have ever had, Gareth McCauley is now in it. I don't actually think it gets stated enough. You know, Albion are a club that have got a history of a couple of defenders who are good players who had some serious longevity there. You know, they talk about Ali Robertson and John Moyle and so on. I'm going to say, I don't think we've had too many centre-backs ever that are too much better than Gareth McCauley in terms of what he's offered at the absolute top flight. And I just couldn't have any more time for him. He seems to me to be a good professional and a good bloke and so on. But I'm going to agree with you. I think I'm terrified of this because I've been supporting Albion for longer than you two, and they've been recruiting centre-halves the whole time, and it almost never works. And we're going to have to recruit a lot. But I sort of think starting a 46-game season, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter are saying, you know, he'd be a great fourth choice. You don't recruit fourth choice players. That doesn't happen, in my opinion. You recruit first choice players, and if they underperform, they kind of drop down.
I think if we're going to have a fourth choice defender next year, why not let it be Jack Fitzwater?
To be honest, I think they need four. If we're going to lose, need to sign.
It's frightening. Admittedly, it's frightening that you could lose Craig Dawson, Johnny Evans, Gareth McCauley in a single summer.
Yeah,
that is scary. A prospect.
There's no way we could replace them. Like, we wouldn't do it.
Well, last season
we
was a story
two centre halves anyway.
Last season was a story of not being able to replace Gareth McCauley with his goals. I'd have stayed up. It's as simple as that. Mm. So it sounds like we differ on that one. I've got a feeling we're going to differ on the next one. So Claudio Jakob. I'll start on Claudio Jakob. I'm not really his biggest fan. I've said it before that I feel like he can only really play in one position, in one formation. I don't think he's offering enough. And I think the one saving grace might be if Darren Moore specifically needs someone specifically in that position. Yeah, someone who will, you know, run 5 kilometres a game and largely give the ball away. But for me, he's a no. I think Jakob's time at the club has really run over. I think it's only the fact that he earns so much at ours that he isn't back at Argentina now. And personally, I probably wouldn't have him. Joe?
No, I disagree. I'm giving Claudio another year. I'm fighting his corner.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it depends on the formation that Darren Moore that takes up next summer, next season. That's not been particularly clear. It might be that he looks at an alternative to what he's worked with this season with the players.
Cross-examine you to this point. Mm. What about if he plays the same formation as he was playing at the end of last season? Can you see Jakob playing in that?
I still think Jakob is a player worth having in the squad, even if not a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for another year, what is he now? Is he 30, 31?
Yeah, I don't think, he's a player that could probably go another 5 or 6 years.
I think Claudio Jakob is a player worth keeping for any other reason. Like the way we had Stephen Reid the last time we were in the Championship. Someone that if you need to see a game out for whatever reason, and you've got 15-20 minutes to see that game out, I think Claudio Jakob's a viable option off the bench.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's enough for Claudio Jakob himself as an individual at the age where he is now, does he want more regular football than that? Does he want to move back to Argentina? Is that an option for him? Would he move elsewhere in England? I can't see Premier League clubs lining up for him. But
I think the interesting thing about him is he was earning a reported 40 grand a week, that's likely to half, and that becomes more plausible for a club in Argentina. But I'd say, I mean, this is the case with a lot of our players, that even at half what they were paid last season, a lot of them are over their market value. I mean, you're talking about him as a potential substitute in the Championship. Yeah, 20 grand a week for a substitute in the Championship is a lot of money. That's not at our behest to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly once upon a time it was. I mean, the way the Championship's going at the minute,
yeah,
I'm not too sure that 20 grand a year, 20 grand a week rather, is probably the norm now. I'd imagine the Championship, it's probably the average salary. I very much like the defensive department with Dawson and Evans and McCauley that we touched on there. The midfield's going to be the same. You've lost Krikoviak, Livermore's gained interest already from the Premier League, yeah, and you've got Gareth Barry. So letting Jakob go as well,
yeah,
and Morrison, who we'll come on to. It's the same kind of dilemma.
It's got kind of willful destruction if you want to get.
Do you want to take the squad apart that much?
Regular listeners to this podcast will know that Kieran Dooney is no massive fan of Claudio Jakob.
No.
So, Kieran, would you choose to extend Claudio Jakob's contract?
No, not at all. I just think he holds that midfield back so much. Do you know? You know, he's one dimensional. We can only play one formation when he's on the pitch. I think he gives away free kicks, he loses the ball. Like you said, you bring him on to play out a game. He invites more pressure onto the back four than when before he comes on. So I think it's so counterproductive keeping him, and I can't believe he's been in the club as long as he has, to be honest.
All I will do is I will contest that you want to see Kieran's face. I was sat next to him when Jakob scored against Manchester City in the League Cup earlier this season. And you want to see Kieran's
conflicted
face.
Was it?
It was like, do I celebrate? Do I?
No.
He just ended up shaking his head, like, you know, kind of.
It's not that. He's a lovely bloke. He's really not. Like, it's just as a footballer, he's just not my cup of tea at all. I just, you know.
Nah.
If it wasn't for him playing in the first place, his position wouldn't be needed.
Malumbu was perfect for Jakob, wasn't he? Because he was the kind of player that would
definitely go.
He'd sit in alongside him. And Malumbu had an engine that probably not too many people realised.
Yeah.
And he would go and he would take part in attacks. And Jakob knew exactly where he stood.
Yeah.
I think without him there, he's kind of lost in that middle. Because he can't play the ball, can he, really?
You also wouldn't do that at Championship level, I don't think, would you? You wouldn't have Malumbu and Jakob. Yeah, so that's the thing. It's a limiting. You've got Jakob there. You've probably got to have another two people in central midfield there. And they're going to have to score and assist a lot of goals for that to justify one player up front at Championship level. You know, it's not like Premier League where we're trying to not concede every week.
Yeah, there's going to be more impetus on Albion next season going forward, scoring goals, taking the match to a team.
It still wouldn't surprise me though, having the one up front and they'll have three midfielders that are part of the attack. I think that
just have two.
I can see that
players.
Being the way it's going to go.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah.
You'll have an advanced
midfielders will cover
an
a lot of
midfielder. Yeah,
yeah. So we've disagreed on two in a row now. I've got a feeling we're about to hit on an agreement here. So Boaz Myhill, do either of you keep Boaz Myhill?
No,
sadly not. I think that the goalkeeper department at Albion is in desperate need of fresh competition for Ben Foster. Whether that be someone else or Alex Palmer, who's, you know, he's ready to make the step up now and really push. He's about 21, 22, so he really needs to kind of make that step up. He's not a kid anymore. Whether that's him or whether it's someone else, then I just think Foster needs... It's become very comfortable for Foster and Myhill. Foster needs a little bit more pushing, whereas Myhill was happy to kind of almost be an extra coach, I suppose, on the training ground for him.
No, I'd agree. I think Foster is obviously kind of the jaw in the crowd, but I actually think this is the season where they should be signing a keeper that pushes Foster. So, I mean, they talked about Sam Johnson, didn't they, a while ago? I mean, I think Sam Johnson's probably a bit...
I can't see Sam Johnson coming back.
No. But I mean, in terms of that profile, of a player who he's coming to compete for that slot role.
Dean Henderson will likely be available again, I think.
Yeah, well, I think that's
someone like that.
I play a player who's competitive at Championship level already. I think that'd be good. You know, someone you probably don't want Foster playing League Cup games. Maybe this, you know, he's getting to the stage in his career where you probably need to manage him more. And he's a sort of keeper that I think would happily be managed. So no, I'd agree. I wouldn't. But Kieran, you're the same.
No, I'd go. I think it's a credit to Foster actually that he's had Myhill underneath him for so long and it hasn't affected. You know, he's still put the effort in for us.
Yeah,
I think they're just a league apart, aren't they? There's no way you can go from Ben Foster as number one to Myhill second because, you know, there's no competition there for places. And Foster's kept himself, kept his eye on the prize, hasn't he, really? And he's kept performing consistently for us. So.
Myhill's, I mean, don't get me wrong, Myhill has had some brilliant games for Albion.
He had a brilliant spell, didn't he? You
know, when he really did step up to the plate on a number of times when Foster's been injured. And Foster's been injured for long periods of time in his time at Albion. And Myhill as well, you know, he's been at the club 8 years, he's been a good servant. He and Foster quite clearly bounced off each other, and it's worked for a long, long time. But again, it's just like McCauley, like Jakob, you make the argument.
I think Myhill would benefit from, you know, having a chance of playing, because he knows he's not going to get a first team opportunity at Albion.
Yeah,
I think
does Myhill go elsewhere? I think
he'd benefit himself from moving off.
It's 36, isn't it?
The flip to this would be the, we talked about the kind of spine, as we keep talking about, and you could almost rule out, did you say they got an option on Myhill?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, if they were to exercise that option, it's almost like you kick it down the line for another year and don't have to think about goalkeepers. But I think it's quite plausible Foster's going to get injured at some time next year, and I think it'd be good that when that happens that they bring in someone that I think might be useful. So this is the last one is one I'm the most conflicted about, so I'm going to probably go last on this one. So James Morrison, Kieran, do you keep James Morrison or not?
I'm like you. I think we should. My heart says keep him, but then if you look back over the last two seasons, he's hardly strung, 2 months of playing football together, has he?
Yeah.
And I think we still miss his natural number 10 ability. I think whoever we bought, we haven't replaced that. So you're in the back of your head, you think last time he played, is he still that player? He hasn't played consistently for over 2 years. At the same time, I don't see us getting a number 10 that can play the role as efficiently as he can when he's fit.
When you think about what we're talking about, the formation they're going to need to play,
he'd be perfect for it, but no one really knows if he can hack it. It'll be such a gamble.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's a sort of thing people who've seen him play, but even then, of course James Morrison's saying he's fit and ready to go, because why wouldn't he?
Yeah, but do you know what, I think he's worth the gamble, because if he does end up being fit for next year, even if he plays 30 games, he'd make such a difference to that team.
Oh,
I think we've missed him this year.
Well, I'd definitely renew him if he played 30 games, but I don't. Yeah. Would you expect him to, though? I don't think I do.
It's a shame, isn't it? It's such a gamble, and I think if he can prove to Darren Moore that he's fit enough to start the season, I think he'll earn himself 12 months. Darren Moore himself knows how valuable he is.
Do you know, I've probably changed my opinion on this. I think I almost entirely agree. I think he's
worth the gamble. We've gambled on players like Gareth Barry and stuff, I think he's easily worth the gamble compared to other players that we've brought in.
I guess the flip side of that is the worth bits. I mean, again, reportedly he was on $60,000 plus a week, coming down to $30,000 plus a week. It's big money, it's probably more than Tom Kearney was earning at Fulham this year, in the arena of what Jack Grealish was earning at Villa this year, and so on. It is money for an absolute top draw central midfielder, and as is the nature of our conversation, we can't be entirely sure that he's going to be
At the same time, though, because we've been in the Premier League so long, to us we are overpaying.
Yeah.
But the league is so saturated, it is the going rate. So I don't, you can't really say. You'll see more and more Championship clubs now are paying that sort of money for midfielders, because they're coming down from the Premier League and they're stuck on them wages.
Yeah.
Chekundoy's on that at Blues.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
We can say this on Woodman Corner or an Albion podcast, but Chekundoy's a really, really bang average footballer.
Yeah.
And, Morrison will at least in half the matches next season would give you more.
Outperform that,
on the basis, but we know that's the thing, the nature of it with Morrison is that if he plays, he'll be good. It's whether or not he'll play. And I mean, obviously, the difference between Jakob and Morrison is Morrison went up a notch when we went down last time. Morrison had a really, really good contribution in the Championship. He's a player who raises, unlike Dorans at the time, someone who is able to raise to whatever challenge is set for him at that moment. And I wouldn't imagine that, on the basis he's fit, that wouldn't have gone away. I think he's got the right kind of personality where he take this kind of season on, but it's just really thick. On Joe, where do you stand?
Yes, I'm gonna agree with Kieran. I think he's worth a risk for another year. If he was to agree in that extension, in that 12-month option, that he's going to obviously go with the half a salary as every Albion player will, then I think he's worth another year. I can understand the reservations from a lot of fans, and that there's a need to kind of not be sentimental with certain players. And I think most of them fall under the category. I had a quick look at the stats the other day, and these four players, I think of I think they've made something like 800 appearances for Albion between all four of them. So, you know, it's a huge, huge thing. We've seen Fletcher go, we've seen Olsen go in the last few years. This summer there's obviously going to be some change as well. And Dawson's made a couple of hundred appearances for Albion.
Yeah.
So, and if he was to go, for example, you are taking out so much, not just experience, but experience of Albion and what an understanding of the club. And so you just got to be quite careful. It's so easy to say, we'll get rid of 15 players and we'll bring another 15 in.
Yeah.
At the same time.
And you can imagine, like, the finance director at the Albion, you've got Chadley going on, what is 80 grand a week and probably going to bring in 15, 20 million quid. Meanwhile, you have a ready-made replacement, in fact, a better championship replacement. There. Yeah, it's from a financial perspective. I mean, James Morrison could kind of be manna from heaven, really. So I think how it's shaped up there is...
I'd imagine like Brunt and Foster, Morrison would be happy to. It's all down to whether he can prove his fitness. Darren Moore wants him to stay.
People forget, he came a month later than Brunt. He's been there just as long.
No, he's been there 11 years. I don't imagine Morrison would be in a rush to kind of...
Well, of those teams, of those players, do you think any of those players would attract Premier League interest if Albion weren't to take them on?
Well, the suggestion that Morrison would be kind of wanted by Middlesbrough or Celtic, those kind of clubs never go away really when it comes to Morrison.
So I'd say potentially Jakob is the one that might be. If there's a team that was in a position who needed a holding midfielder, potentially Jakob.
It's actually interesting about McCauley. I think McCauley potentially for a newly promoted club or something. I remember a few years ago Bournemouth doing the same. They signed Sylvain Distan from Everton. Yeah. He was 38. Only for a year, but it brought in so much experience into a newly promoted squad with a defence that had not played in the Premier League before. And Distin did that job, like kind of like built that bridge.
I do hope
McCauley
can
do that. McCauley as a personality, as a defender.
I just think, he hasn't had chance really to pull consecutive performances together as he really this year.
No.
Until Evans.
But why hasn't he? I mean, he's been fit, hasn't he? It's just that they haven't considered him good enough.
It's just, I just think if he had a chance to build back up a bit of form, I do think he could still do a job.
Only a year. I'm an enormous, huge fan of his. So that's it. So I think, loosely speaking, we're conflicted on many of them, but we'd probably keep Morrison. We'd definitely lose Myhill. And on balance, I think we'd probably lose McCauley and Jakob as well. But... yeah, we know what Jakob's capable of. McCauley, we're not so certain of. So that's an interesting one. Just come back to where I was last week. I'd like to see more movement at Albion. I mean, how do you two feel about a club that's going to make so huge a change? We haven't got an assistant manager. We haven't got, or I should say, we this isn't live, so we haven't got an assistant manager recording. I can't expect a massive amount of transfer changes, and yet they are coming. I mean. When do you press the panic button about
the silence is rather definite at the minute, isn't it? The one thing I would say is that while the players aren't going, there's almost no need to bring that many in. So it's all well and good saying, well, we need 12 players, but until the 12 players leave, do we actually?
Do you know? I don't agree with that at all.
Until Rodriguez goes, Dawson goes, Gibbs goes, Livermore goes.
But you don't set up a team overnight, do you? I mean, the success of Walter Shields, getting it ready, getting the team knowing what they were doing.
They didn't have a departure lounge like.
Isn't that why things are going to collapse? Because they're going to lose Rodriguez and replace him with
But if they take Lewis the stance
and blah blah blah.
But if they take the stance like they did when Berahino was there, for example, and say, do you know what, guys, there's a cut off point for your suitors. If we're getting offers in the beginning of August. Which is obviously when the deadline closes. If clubs are starting to do their business like a trolley dash at the end of the window, say, no, well, sorry, you haven't given us enough time. We can't sell you. Like Berahino with Tottenham, we can't get a replacement, so we're not selling you.
But they don't have that at their behest for everyone.
So the best
example would be Dawson, who I think is the most important transfer that will be outgoing. And I mean, that he can go anytime he wants, really. And Albion don't have any way saying that. And that's what I mean. I mean, what does the Albion team look like? And I mean, it's all well and good saying, well, at the moment it looks like Dawson's in it and Rodriguez in it. But if they aren't, they need to be planning for that now. And I'm sure they are planning for that now. But the assistant manager thing just sort of screams to me as that they're not as far ahead of it as I'd like them to be.
I do think that they're putting a lot of trust into the players. because I think Jenkins saying that, you know, they weren't in a position where they had to sell people in Moores unveiling. I think they're expecting that they can keep hold of some key players, and they haven't really had the conversation yet to think, okay, he's after a move. I think they're putting a lot of trust into the players like Dawson Rodriguez, when they could, like you say, it could just come back to bite them at the end of the month when
half
the team's gone and we've got no replacements lined up.
Say we had a case study of, hypothetically speaking, Jay Rodriguez was a subject of a bid from Burnley. It's his hometown club. He's played there before. European football, Premier League football.
Still expecting that as well, by the way.
Oh, well, yeah. You'd be silly not to see it. All the it ticks every single box. And Albion say, well, actually, no, we want 20 million for Jay Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I just can't for a minute see Burnley paying that.
Well, I can't see him going for any less. To be honest, I think I would want more than that.
So it's like, well, is Rodriguez, at that point, bids rejected? Is that point, you know, is Rodriguez going to kick up a fuss?
The interesting thing about this is how that transfer process and the preparation aligned. So Rodriguez has been a good example. And if they're so far away, then the club could get a sense he's probably going to stay there. But it's like Darren Moore is managing percentages. So, I'm managing Jared Rodriguez, or 70% likely be there. Here I'm going to put Craig Dawson, who's got a 15% chance of starting, and so on. It's so... the uncertainty is so abound. And, I mean, so many examples of clubs that have fallen foul of that whole this season being a real good example. It's almost like Darren Moore's trying to plaster a balloon.
The upheaval's been rather scary. We've obviously got a technical director that we still need to appoint, as well as an assistant manager. In the last 12 months, we've sacked two managers. We've lost a chairman, a chief executive, a club doctor, and Nicky Hammond, and Richard Garlick's gone. That is an enormous amount at board level.
It
and
is,
a,
yeah. a six of the most senior people
coaching level in the space of less than 12 months.
Yeah,
it's remarkable how the you're actually still going into this new season with a bit of optimism.
It's going to give us a lot to talk about, isn't it? So I think I mentioned this earlier on. All three relegated clubs now have made a change. We've had Graham Potter's now coming at Swansea. We have Gary Rowett at Stoke and Big Dave at the Albion. So Kieran.
Yeah.
Who has made the best appointment?
It's between, for me, it's between Swansea and Albion, but at the same time, they're both a gamble, aren't they? So you can't really judge it.
It's so hard
to
tell.
Gary Rowett, I mean, him and the traditional Stoke side, we come to get used to under Pulis. I think they're a match made in heaven. I don't think it'd have been a good appointment for us. I don't think the fans would have got behind. I reckon a month of watching his football would have been in trouble. At the same time, I do think he'll get a lot out of that Stoke side that they've got at the minute.
So it's interesting because I would say the best appointment's been made by Stoke. You've got this, as we just outlined, this big challenge to kind of settle at this level, and they've almost brought in the one of the best prepared managers to do that. I know he sort of courts controversy, but I'd have been happy with Rowett personally.
I think at the same time though, it's a lot. It's eggs in one basket, isn't it? Because he's bound to move on into our bumps again. Whereas we're like, I think we're starting to build something there, and I think Swansea could be under par after what he's done previously. So, I think the two very long term appointments as opposed to one short term.
Do you know Graham Potter screams to me? I say it screams as if I can remember his name. When Cardiff brought in.
Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah, who'd absolutely smashed it in Scandinavia, got a perfect record and came in. It's very, very different scenarios. He didn't have a pre-season to do it. But Graham Potter screams that to me. It's all, that's great, you can do that there. And this isn't to deride it, because fundamentally humans work there. But stole back, and I guess another one. It doesn't mean anything, and I don't expect him to succeed at Swansea.
I'm intrigued. That's all I can say. As a neutral, I can watch Swansea next year and whether they romp with towards the title or whether they end up like Hull. We can kind of watch it with a bit of interest, as to maybe what might have been had Albion looked at Potter, because that was obviously a someone that was a viable candidate for Albion in the summer. You're looking at the players that we wanted, someone that got the club.
Yeah.
And McInnes and an Appleton, and all these players all these managers were talked about, and Potter kind of fitted into that category.
Yeah,
he's had some success, albeit relative. I'm quite interested to see how he gets on over here. whether so it's something, it could be a stepping stone.
So is he your man? I asked the question was who's made the best appointment?
Oh, it's so hard to tell. Hard, and it? Albion are the same. Albion could win the league next year or finish, you know, in the bottom five. I just don't know. It's scary. Rowett is going to be devoid. They've got three real assets of Stoke. They've got Shaqiri, they've got Butland, and they've got Ndiaye. And they'll all be gone. And it's whether how much Rowett has to spend in the summer.
That's interesting.
He doesn't spend money well. Traditionally, Rowett doesn't spend money well.
I'd say Stoke have more assets than that. I mean, they've got Shawcross, is an enormous asset at this level, isn't it?
See, I think Dawson, for example, is better than Shawcross.
Yeah, but I think they're more likely to keep Shawcross. I don't know this because I'm not that close to it, but I mean, Albion aren't keeping Dawson, I don't think. It's great, but he ain't staying. Whereas I think Shawcross might stay. I wouldn't imagine he's.
I look at them, you've got players like Choupo-Moting, they've got Crouch, they've got Joe Allen, I suppose, is another one that I'd expect to move on.
Yeah, I'd put him in the Dawson category.
Players like Eric Peters. I just don't think the squad is terrific. I think they're quite an ageing squad, Stoke. I think Rowett they'll certainly be the kind of player that Rowett, you know, looks at in terms of transfer. It's his kind of squad.
Yeah.
A group of experience that will do what they're told by him, and you know, haven't got all that much flair.
It's like all that, it's the time.
Derby were the same. Derby, the first thing he did when he went to Derby was sign Tom Huddleston and Curtis Davis. They have Gary Rowett written all over them as signings.
Yeah.
Players like Scott Carson, Chris Baird, Andy Vyman, you know, people that will work hard for you, and that's Gary Rowett.
So the Pulis days are back at Stoke. All right, great. Well, that's been interesting, and as is always the case, it's quite possible by the time we get back to our desk, some of these things will be sort of fixed. So apologies for that. That's the case. But thank you for joining us this week on Woodman Corner. As always, if you want to get involved, do get in touch. We are very open to people coming in and telling us how wrong we are. But in the meantime, hope you're having a nice time of it out of season, and we will see you next Thursday.